Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Guy that I think really helped the liberation of Pennsylvania through science, through dogged work, and just the esteem that he's held in. He's the head of public health out in Bucks County. We're happy to have back with us Dr. David Damsker here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, doctor, how have you been? Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Dom, I've been great. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, thank you for what you did. I think we thanked you then, but I want to say it again because it was a long slog, you know, to use science but common sense to get out of some of the restrictions where we were. And Central Bucks, your name was mentioned. I don't know if you saw it in today's Philly.com, that they were going to go, the school district there, with a 3-foot social distancing, and they kind of referenced you. Tell me what was going on there.
To be honest, I didn't see the actual article this morning, but what I can tell you is that that refers to the distancing between students.
Okay.
And what happened was the state and the CDC and the Bucks County Health Department, we all put out guidance saying that, you know, when feasible, if it's possible, you want kids to be 6 feet apart from each other, you know, whenever possible. And then I was, in my guidance that I put out, I talked about how we understand when feasible, but you don't want to go any lower than 3 feet, because 3 feet is worldwide, you know, acceptable as the 3-foot distance. You know, most droplets do drop down in that distance. Not all of them do, but a lot of them do. Most of them do. And that distance has been used around the world in almost every country, except for a couple that use 6 feet here in the United States. So I put that in there as sort of a basement, as a floor measurement,
okay.
Not as the recommended number. So there's been a little bit of a miscommunication, I think, between some of the people that are sort of, you know, telling me that I recommended 3 feet. I said, no, I recommended 6, but the minimum is 3 based on, and there is science behind that.
Okay. The thing that's concerning me is here's the grand thing that I see happening with schools. As you know, any number of them offered as an option rather than saying everybody's got to come back 5 days a week. That's unrealistic in person. There ought to be options. But then over the last couple of weeks, we could only find 2 or 3 that are still offering the in-person 5 day a week thing. I don't know what's changed here in Pennsylvania. There's nothing that we see that's changed other than a fear. You don't want to be the school district that the first week of school has 2 or 3 cases, I guess. So what are you're called upon by school districts in Bucks County. What are you saying to them about figuring this out?
Well, yeah, I've been in constant contact. You know, I talk to the superintendent of Bucks County, you know, every week, and at least every week. And, you know, I think part of it is, yes, I think some of the school boards, you know, are a little concerned about, you know, what they read in the paper, what they watch on CNN. But I can tell you in Bucks County that over the last couple of weeks, the cases have come down. The number, our hospitalizations are extremely low right now, back where they were in early March, early to mid-March. And, you know, and I think that there's a lot of just once one school district does something, there's a lot of a domino effect. And I think, and that's what I was trying to avoid. But, you know, obviously each school district makes their own decisions. And from a public health perspective, we just try to provide the best guidance we can so they can reopen safely. But we obviously, you know, each school district has to make their own call. But I think there's a little bit of peer pressure. There's a little bit of a domino effect. You know, and I think when you read about some of the schools in the South had a couple of cases, you know, here in Bucks County, we would have treated things a little differently. You know, we would say, okay, those kids may have gotten infected, you know, outside of the school. They may not have gotten it in school. and we would do the contact tracing and the case investigation to figure out why that is. We don't want to shut down schools every time there's a case. We have a whole protocol in place. And again, there's a few school districts that are still moving forward and trying to do this, and I think they can do it safely. But I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of what you watching other people do what they do, and it makes you nervous. And I think it's understandable.
I'm sorry, Doctor. Do you have offhand the school districts that are still looking at 5 days a week as an option?
Yeah, as of right now, I believe it's Quakertown, Palisades, and Penridge.
Thank you for telling me that, because I want to support that. I think that you have to not ignore science, but as you said, low rate there in Bucks County currently, and then take all the best precautions you can, maybe even go a bit overboard just to make everybody feel comfortable. I don't know what that precaution would be, at least it seems to me that hybrid should be possible to keep down the numbers, contact, and to have massive cleaning, right? That in Bucks County, would it be safe right now to have a hybrid system at least?
Well, yeah, according to the governor's new guidance that he just put out, I believe, yesterday, which is not mandated, it's just a recommendation. But yeah, having a hybrid system, there's pros and cons to the hybrid system. The teachers are still being exposed to the same kids over the week, whether it's, Monday and Tuesday or Thursday, Friday. Then those kids are now not in a structured environment potentially the other 3 days, and they can go out and get infected and do other things. And there's also logistical issues for doing that. But certainly, a hybrid model gives the kids at least some semblance of getting back to school and socializing with their friends, and that mental health and well-being that comes with being in a school environment.
We're talking with Dr. David Damsker, who is the head of public health out there in Bucks County. I'm sorry, Doctor, finish what you were saying.
No, that's fine. And I think that the hybrid model has pros and cons. The in-person model in some school districts, it was difficult to accomplish, depending on the distancing. Some of the schools are older, some are newer. But each school district has their own, ideas on what they want to do. But, I think that hybrid model is certainly one good advantage to a hybrid model is it gets people back to school. The teachers that are concerned about their well-being, it shows them that this can be done safely. And I think that's a major issue, is that we have to show people that opening up schools can be done and can be done safely for both staff and students.
The other thing I would look, non-scientifically, but from what I know and the experts we bring on, Unionville Chadsford has a unique thing. They hire 21 more teachers, but they have that advantage to do that. But they also are going back in person if you choose 5 days a week, grades 1 to 4, I think, because to cut down the numbers. And wouldn't those be the children most, least at risk at that age level versus, say, the high school kids?
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of data coming out showing that can small kids get the disease. And, we know that kids are not as affected by it, for sure. We know that. Whether they can spread the disease, there's definitely some competing studies whether or not, they're more or less likely to spread. But what I can tell you is, obviously, the smaller children have more difficulty with the online learning. I think the older kids maybe can handle a little bit better from an educational perspective. But, getting some of the kids in with bigger distances is certainly one of the options. But again, I can only provide public health guidance, and the schools end up making these decisions, on their own.
Let me turn to the world of sports. Now, I think we talked before, you probably don't remember, though, because you're a busy guy, but I'm a basketball guy. That's what I play. That's what I follow. I think basketball, particularly indoors, is the worst of all. You have to be in contact with your man or woman if you're playing the girls' basketball all the time. You're touching. You're backing the person down. You're sweating. And it's not like football's bad, but I think there's some precautions that can be taken. But to see the school districts now drop all fall sports, even golf, even cross country, would you agree? I feel as if we're in A Few Good Men. You're the medical expert. And I'm saying, Dr. Damsker, would you agree there's almost absolutely no risk, if done properly, not crazy, cross country, golf, for kids to play those sports?
No, I think it's absolutely safe. If you follow good protocols, you can pretty much play almost any sport. I think even something like football, for instance, you're outside. I think there's things that they could do differently in football. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes they have these little small smelly weight rooms where the kids aren't wearing masks and they're all kind of crammed together.
Right.
You know, maybe eliminate the weight rooms and the other indoor things that they do and have the kids work out on their own. But keep the practices outside. Keep the coaches masked and social distance. I think that you can do a lot of things, a lot of sports, and do it safely if you follow the rules. Make sure the kids aren't sick when they're playing, which is a huge one. And that's almost like the number one thing. And I think you can play sports. I think the kids need it. Now you're talking about taking away, you know, in-person schooling for a lot of children, and some of them don't have a whole lot left to turn to for mental and the social stimulation besides the sports that they play. And I think we did take it really, really seriously before we removed that ability for those kids to play.
Here's the thing, though, and you are one of the best, contact tracing and all that. You were well ahead of the curve, whatever you did to put that into place. Documenting the social ills, we can vaguely say it and we set some number, but, you know, tracing it to this isolation, lack of school, lack of sports, I just don't think it's made the impact. Is there anything you're working on to catalog that, the Damsker scale versus the risk of going back to school? It's apparent to you and it's apparent to me, but it gets lost because if you're the school that has three or four kids that first week with coronavirus, you're the bad guy. But all these other ills, which I think are a lot worse than the risk of this, they don't get cataloged easily.
Well, I think there's a lot of anxiety and depression and social isolation. I think our crisis center has seen additional cases of behavioral issues that have come up that weren't coming up before. So there's clearly it has an impact on children. And you know, I have children myself. I know there's an impact on them. I know there's impact on their friends. And I think that, you know, that should not be ignored. I mean, our children are supposedly our most precious resource. And I think that, you know, given the fact that I believe we have, you know, things that we've put into place to make it as safe as possible. Now, look, as I said earlier, you can't stop all transmission of kids are going to get COVID because they're getting COVID now and we aren't even in school. So
yes.
The idea that you're going to have a COVID-free school is ridiculous, just like you're not going to have a COVID influenza-free school either, because kids are hanging out outside of school and they're getting together, and they're going to continue doing that, probably more so if they're not in a five-day week
in person. That's a great point. You know, CNN and the others touting, look at this spike that's happening. Well, it's family vacations. It's a bunch of other things where they're interacting, and I think they ought to try to do that safely. I agree with you. But that's the reason for the spike. That doesn't mean it would be worse if they go back to school.
Correct. I think people are not going on vacation. You're going to see the numbers are going down right now. And I think a lot of our summer numbers were from, first of all, we went to green, so everything was open, and people took a little bit more liberty. They had gatherings at their homes. They're going down to the beach. We are getting cases from the Jersey Shore. You know, there's definitely people are out and about doing things. They're stuck in their homes for several months. So it's natural, you know, for people to want to do that and have a good time, right? And we're not discouraging that. We just want people to do it safely. And now that those trips are sort of, and the 4th of July is now in our rearview mirror, we've seen the cases coming down statewide. You know, we still have to be very careful and be smart. But I do believe that, you know, getting kids back in school and the people won't be on vacation and you'll start to see the cases drop to a certain baseline that we probably will be at for the foreseeable future until a vaccine comes around.
Doctor, I love talking with you. Thank you very much. Whenever you have anything you want to come on about, it's open. Please do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dom. Have a great day. Take care.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.